The question today is church discipline scriptural? Well, I'll have to go to the Bible to see what the Bible says. It's not what I think, it's what the Bible says. I guess the best place to look, first of all, is where it was practiced by the church at Corinth due to Paul's writing them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1 through 5. I'll read those verses first. It said, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily am absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done so this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord." In verse number 11 of chapter 5, he said, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat." Now, as we look at this scripture, many people want to misinterpret it and interpret it other ways, in fact. But what he's saying, this man was practicing open sin, a fornication. It was known by all, and the church wasn't grieved over that sin and just let it go on. And Paul wrote them and said, "Hey, you need to take action. You need to cast this man, deliver him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh." That means to excommunicate him as a member of the church. Withdraw membership from him. In fact, he said here, for these people in verse 11, who practice such, and he listed only a representative list of sin, but it's a continuous actions, lifestyle, habitual lifestyle of sin, anything that's open in this, with such a one, know not to eat. Somebody said that means you can't eat dinner with somebody. No, it's talking about the Lord's Supper, because Jesus himself ate with sinners, did he not? In fact, the Pharisees was all disturbed that Jesus would do such a thing, but if he would then not fellowship with them in the church. In that sense, they wasn't members of the church. And so, therefore, he's not talking about people that's not members of the church, but he's talking about those that's members of the church who are practicing this thing, excommunicating. Church discipline needs to be practiced so that they cannot partake of the Lord's Supper. You see, Lord's Supper is supposed to be closed to a local New Testament church. And you need to realize you have jurisdiction over that. Oh, somebody says, "Preacher, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, judge not that ye be not judged." Well, that's true. It does say that. But it means you can't judge a person without a standard to go by. But we've got the plumb line, the Word of God, the 66 books. And this is what God said in His Word. Therefore, if you can't match the word judgment today, you won't match it out yonder in the end time. And God said for the church to take action upon this man who practiced this sin, and to excommunicate him, or to church discipline, or church him is a term that we would call it today. Now, I know there's been many times that the practice of church discipline in the past has not always been exactly right. The attitude wasn't always right, but it's still scriptural. God said that in His Word. And I know here He said also in 1 Corinthians 5 about this judging. He said in verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians 5, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within?" Church, you have a responsibility to pass judgment upon those that's within. For he says, the next verse said, "But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." You've got to pass judgment so that God can judge him when you put him on the outside. As long as he's under the church, there'll not be the judgment upon him. There should be. You have a responsibility as a church to practice church discipline. You say, "But now, let him without sin cast the first stone." That's what some people want to say. Yes, I understand that. If a man's in habitual lifestyle of sin, he don't need to be casting any stones. He don't need to be judging. But if he's had sin, and sure, we've all sinned, but when those sins are confessed, the Lord said, "I'm faithful and just to forgive all sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Therefore, when sin's confessed, that man stands clean before God, and he has a responsibility to practice church discipline in the church. And therefore, you need to come and keep prayed up and confessed up so that you might And that involves repentance, of course, so that you might be cleansed and you can stand and the church could become pure. And as a result, have power. Our problem today, we're infiltrated with too many. We're practicing open sin, and the world out there sees it and said, "What? That's Christianity. I don't want it." Now, for a public sin, and that's what happened here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, but he also mentioned here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us," or not walking after truth. So public sin automatically needs to come before the church and be excommunicated in that sense, or practice church discipline on. No longer would it be a letter given in good standing to that individual if they went over to some other church. That's the way it should be. That's what God said in His Word. Now, what about personal sin? For instance, if someone offended someone, well, the Bible lays that down. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse number 15 through 17, he said, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." In other words, if he realizes he's done wrong, if he's really saved, he will. He'll get that thing right. He'll confess it and get it right. And you've gained a brother. You know, it does not go. It's private. It's just, well, it's really personal sin. It needs to be confessed between you two, for instance, or maybe three's involved. Whatever the personal connection is, it's not public. Said, go to him. You've gained a brother. Verse 16 of 18, Matthew says, "But he will not hear thee." In other words, if he won't confess and ask your forgiveness for that, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. In other words, when you take two or three, you've got two or three witnesses. By law, you can establish such. And you hope and pray that he'll get that thing right. He'll confess it. And if he confesses it, you need to forgive him for that. And so as a result, you, if he does that, you've gained a brother. It's all settled right there. It doesn't need to go any further. But if he rejects to hear you and will not confess that sin, he said, bring it before the church and tell it to the church. And you've got the witnesses to back up what you said. And then he said, cast him out. Let it be unto him as a heathen and man or a publican. In other words, one outside the local New Testament church, one that's not saved. Let him just cast him out. Now, why do we practice? Why should we practice church discipline? We say it's scriptural. Well, the Lord said to, that makes it scriptural, so we should practice it. Second reason we should practice it is because discipline is not something you do to someone, but for a person. For instance, you discipline your children so that they, they may grow up to be what you'd have them to be. So when you discipline a church member, if they're really saved, and you turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord, I want to tell you, Satan will put him through the ringer till he comes back, or he'll take him on to heaven, and the Lord will prematurely so as by fire. Because you cannot continue in a lifestyle of sin as a saved person and get by with it. We've got too many people who are professing to be saved, and they've never been saved. But if he's genuinely saved, when you practice that discipline, you judge those that's inside. The Lord will judge him outside. Satan will put him through the ringer, and he'll godly sorrow will work in his heart till he come back. And by the way, the church at Corinth, who churched this man in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, and then chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, listen to what it said of 2 Corinthians. He said, "Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." Godly sorrow had worked repentance in his heart, 2 Corinthians 7:10 spoke up. Therefore, he said, it's time. He's had sufficient punishment, and he's worked in him repentance. He's asked forgiveness. You've got to forgive him and bring him back. And when you've churched someone and they come back before the church and ask for forgiveness of the church, you have no choice but to forgive them and welcome them back into the fellowship. But now if one is not saved and you discipline, like this man in 1 Corinthians 5, of course he was in this case, but just say, for instance, he wasn't saved. He's hiding under the umbrella of the local New Testament church. Discipline may wake him up, to be honest about his condition, to realize he doesn't have anything to hold on to. And by the way, church membership's not enough to hold on to. But and as a result, by getting honest about his sin, about his condition, about his need, may the Holy Spirit of God work in his heart and he come to the place that he might be saved. And when he does that, of course, then he still can come then and be baptized into the local church and join the church again. Well, also, why do we do it? Not only because discipline is something you do to a person and because the Lord said to, but 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7 says this. He said, your glorying is not good. Talking to the church at Corinth, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. In other words, you let sin fester and you let it keep on keeping on, what will happen is that thing will destroy the whole lump. It will ruin the church. And therefore, you need to discipline that individual that the church might become pure and thus be powerful. And by the way, sin's not just some of the things of doing lying, stealing, drinking, adultery, and murder. What about Hebrews 10:25? When he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, our roles need to be purged. When people do not attend church, and we have it automatically at New Hope Baptist Church, where if they're not there for 6 months, they're automatically taken off the roll without anything asked. That's a church action, and they need to be, because you realize something, many churches have maybe 200 attended or 100 attended, 65, and got 500 or 600 or 1,000 on the roll. My, what a mess we're in today. I remember one time in our home church back years ago, one day they asked for a letter for a woman that had been up north for, I guess, about 25 years. When they asked for a letter for her name, nobody in the church knew who it was. The only reason the clerk knew who it was is because of the fact he had the church roll. And guess what the church did? They gave her a letter in good standing. My, we wonder why the church is in such a mess that they're in. Listen, folks, we conclude church discipline is scriptural. But it's a forgotten doctrine. It's a hated doctrine. But it needs to be practiced by all churches so that a person could not jump from one church to another without going back and making things right at the church where his membership was in the beginning. You see, there'll people get upset with the church over here and have sin in their life, and maybe the church say we're going to deal with that. They'll run off over yonder somewhere else and join up, and they'll take them with open arms and don't even know what they're inviting in. Leaven that will leaven the whole lump. Church discipline is scriptural. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.